Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Robert Berry. Robert Berry is a Grammy-nominated recording artist, songwriter, producer, and performing musician. He was featured on an album titled Three with Keith Emerson and Carl Palmer. He's toured with Ambrosia, and he has a long-running project with Alliance, members from Boston, Sammy Hagar, and Night Ranger, and has also performed with The Tubes and is currently also performing with Greg Kinn. Robert is a talented, experienced record producer and the owner of Soundtech Studios in Campbell, California. Today, Robert and I will be talking about living your music and what we really want for our children. I'll also be playing a really cool song by him titled The True Meaning of Love. Hello, Robert. Are you there?
I am here, Margot. How are you?
I am really good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Life is always full of challenges and solutions, and every day is kind of fun, you know?
That's so true. Being you and being on your musical journey of life, it definitely is always interesting, and there's definitely always challenges.
You know, that's funny you say that, because when you said I'd like to talk to you about your children and children in general, and I was thinking I was sort of reluctant to have children because of my music. That sounds odd now, but I thought I was trying to make it in music, and I didn't want to start writing nursery rhymes and be, was it Raffy or Barney or whatever, you know, whatever the kids were, or Sesame Street. I thought, oh, my God, if I have kids, I'll just be writing these silly little tidbits. Oh, I don't want to do that. And so I was a bit reluctant, but then again, I thought, you know, I don't want to be so old and I have kids that I won't be able to enjoy them.
Right.
So it was a strange start to having kids for me.
Yeah. Well, I remember I hadn't talked to you in a few years, and in between of when I knew you back in college, and then I'd gotten married, and I had our son, Xander, who was Alex at the time. Mm-hmm. And then when I started talking to you again back in, it was 1993 when we started talking again and getting together, I remember hearing that you had a daughter, and her name was Alexandra, and I had a son named Alex, and I thought, wow, this is really amazing.
And I tried to talk her and change her name to Xander, but she won't do it. So
she doesn't want to be Xander. Does she go by Alexandra?
Nope. She actually goes by Allie now, you know, which a lot of the Alexandras and Alessandras and all of it, they all go by Allie, it seems like now. Thank God Xander isn't going by Allie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, as you know, the reason he changed it from Alex to Xander is because there were so many Alexes, and they're obviously, with both of us having Alexes, it's true that they can be both boys and girls, and I think that's one of the points of having the name Allie and the name Xander, is that you know for sure that it's a girl and you know for sure it's a boy.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't even know how to address my daughter and her names and everything else that are possible. I know a lot of my friends have kids that are going by different names now, so it's just the sign of the times. But there were a lot of Alexes around, for sure. It seemed to be the most popular name in that era. You know?
Oh, it's so true. It seemed like that's all there were Alexes. There was at least 11 in Alex's class, in Xander's class.
Wow.
And
well,
so
he
always had to be Alex D.
Yeah, right. But for me, with having kids in general, you know, not wanting to lose what I thought was my edge and my lyric writing and things in music, I didn't want to do things like, you know, cut the cord and stuff. When the doc says, well, you want to cut the umbilical cord? I go, no, nothing to do with that. No. Well, you probably want to. No, I'm good. You know, I'm good. I was very involved in pregnancy, but I didn't want to really be hands-on. And then when she popped out, I said, give me the scissors, or whatever they call them, you know. I'll take care of this. And then I wouldn't let anybody touch her. And they said, no, Mr. Berry, we can't let you wheel her to the nursery there to have the first bath and all that and get checked out. you can walk alongside. I said, I really would rather do this myself. I totally changed instantaneously.
Wow.
When she popped out, it was such an experience. I just can't even explain it, which is why I wrote the song, The True Meaning of Love, which wound up being the first track on my band Alliance at the time with Gary Peel from Boston and Alan from Night Ranger. With those guys, that was the band at the time that I was really starting to do good things over in Europe with. And the record company picked that as a lead-off song. So all my fears about writing Barney songs and Sesame Street songs were totally, and not found around anything, because the best song on that album was The True Meaning of Love and what it said, which, of course, in once you see a child that you've created, I mean, there's no deeper love than that, no matter what it seems like.
Oh,
even if you don't get along with that child, you know, you can be separate. There's still something there. It's a part of you that live on, and it's amazing.
Well, there's always going to be moments. There's always going to be moments. But I think that we probably should play the song so that people can hear what we're talking about, because that is an incredible song. I love that song. I've got the CD right here next to me, and I love the cover of it. I love that it starts with that song, and it just, to me, it's just the most wonderful song, and it does remind me of The True Meaning of Love. So I'm going to play that right now, and then we'll talk about that a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Without any
And that was the true meaning of love. Robert, are you still there?
Yeah, of course. I'm just thinking where my mind was when I wrote that song. And now you and I have both experienced recently the reason we're parents is to raise successful, independent adults, respectful, successful, independent adults. And your son is off in L.A., you know, my daughter's on her own. I mean, from when I wrote that song, it's like, oh, my God, look at this thing, this baby. You know, I have to nurture this. I want to take care of this thing, to where they are now, 22 years later, I guess it is.
24 for us with Xander.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and that's what we've done. They're independent. They're on their path to success, and they might not have achieved it yet, but they're heading in the right direction. They're not just sitting home watching TV or whatever. And I know Xander's a respectful kid. He's a great kid. I've recorded with him. I've spoken to him on many occasions. And my daughter is on her way to doing something, maybe in psychology or something. She's not quite sure yet. But that's the path that when they're born, that as parents we set out on. It's, I don't know, as I'm listening to the song and it just sort of hit me, you know, wow, you know, that's 22 years ago and now.
You know, I mean, it's amazing. I think one of the things I'd really like to point out for parents who are just starting out or people who are wanting to have kids someday and are looking forward to that is how fast it goes by. It goes by so incredibly fast. And we all get so busy in life that it's really easy to get so busy that you don't spend time with them. And that was one of the things that I really loved about what Wayne Dyer talks about on the tapes that I have of his, What Do You Really Want for Your Children, that I gave you. I gave you copies of those way back when, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the stories he talks about on there, the funny stories he tells. At the time, he had 5 children. Now he's got 8. And his youngest daughter, Sage, is actually almost the same age as our son, Xander. She was born in, I think, the last part of 89. And so it's just amazing when I think about it. And I started re-listening to those tapes, What Do You Really Want for My What Do You Really Want for Your Children, by Wayne Dyer, because I was preparing for the show and I hadn't heard them in quite a while, and I went through them. I started listening to them. I haven't had a chance to go through all of them yet, but I love them. I love that he tells funny stories in them. I love how he's talking about to teach them, well, I'll just go through what some of the things are that he has on there, to learn self-parenting, to have high self-esteem, to be risk-takers, to be stress-free, to have peaceful lives, to be self-disciplined, to celebrate present moments, to live a life of wellness, to be creative, and to feel a sense of purpose. And those things, you know, those are what people really want for their children, I think, if they're really honest with themselves. And that's one of the things he talked about in the beginning of the intro of the tape, is that when he would talk to parents about what they wanted, some of them would call in and ask, well, how can I get my kid to do this, or how can I get them to do that? But what they really want, what people really want for their children, I know you do, Robert, and I know I do, I want him to be happy. I want him to love himself. I want him to love what he does. I want him to love the world that he lives in. And that is so much a huge part of why I wrote my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, is because I wanted to share what I've learned along the journey of being a parent, and what I learned before being a parent, and what I've learned from all these amazing teachers, including Wayne Dyer. He's been such a big teacher in my life, and I know that you enjoyed those tapes too.
I did, Margo, and in fact, you know, it makes me think back of one of the things that happened in both my kids, my son and my daughter. They, in elementary school and in high school, they got with teachers that they didn't quite hit it off with. You know, there was something missing. Either the teacher was boring, or there's too much homework, or they just don't get me. Whatever the excuse was from my kids, I would always tell them the same thing. You know, there's all kinds of situations in life. If you want to be happy, you have to figure out how to get through these situations. This should be one of the easy ones. What, the guy's boring? Okay, well, then how are you going to deal with that? There's a solution to every problem. You might not like the solution, but there's a solution. So how are you going to solve this one? Oh, you know, I don't know when they're little. I don't know. Dad's just boring. So, well, you need to get through the class, so figure it out. You know, that's the self-discipline kind of stuff. And maybe that's a little bit of self-parenting, too. You know, you got to figure things out. You have to teach them to figure things out for themselves. And I would always tell them, say, you know, in fact, every year, all the kids in my kids' classes got a song written by me, lyrically, about all the things they learned. And it was put to whatever the biggest hit song of the year was. You know, when my daughter's growing up, Britney Spears is big. So I would put all the math and the English and all the things in this song, and they'd come down the studio and they'd sing it on the microphone, and we'd do a video of it. So they have a living, breathing record of sort of, you know, the basics of what they learned that year, and their friends on a DVD. They have these. And I would tell the kids first, every time they came, the first thing I say, I come down here every day. I can't wait to get to work. I love what I do. I get to play drums and guitar and everything else. I said, but I had to learn how to do all this stuff. If you learn when you're young and you put that energy into it and you find something you really like, you're going to have a great life like me. I just have so much fun. And they look at me, really? You get to play drums every day? You know, whatever I was doing. And that's part of, at least for me, hoping that my kids fell into some kind of career that made them happy, which in turn doesn't make you stress-free, but the stress you create is kind of that you've created for yourself. It's not imposed by somebody else. If you're doing something you love, they're all problems you can solve. And that takes the stress, the kind of stress it is. You know, like they say, there's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, right?
And there's good stress and bad stress, yeah.
Yeah. You want to have the good stress in your life because you have goals and you have dreams. You want to reach those dreams. And I try to teach my kids that if you find something you love and you get into it and you solve those problems and you look at those problems like a teacher you think is boring or one that gives too much homework or maybe just somebody that doesn't like you, you know, if you need to be there, you need to figure out how to handle this person. And then all of a sudden you find out, oh, they're not so bad. They just have a different personality than me or whatever it is, you know.
Right.
So a lot of these things in Wayne Dyer's with self-discipline, you know, be present in the moment. My God, you know, you have to not think about always what your extraneous stuff is going on. What's going on right now in front of you, and how do you solve the problem or just celebrate the moment?
Or at least make the best of it, you know. Look for what's good in things, and instead of always looking for what's wrong or what you don't like about things. I think that's one of the huge things that can help people really enjoy their present moments is to look for what's good in the present moment and to make the best of it and to choose to focus on that instead of focusing on what's missing or what's wrong or what they don't have, but to be grateful and appreciate what they do have and what's going on and what's going well.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, if a person has a foundation of the purpose in life, you always had these four P's that I used on my kids too, but purpose was really important. You know, you have to have some kind of idea. I'm sorry, my phone is ringing. You know, I play with Greg Kinn now. Been doing it quite a few years, and the manager is trying to get a hold of me. Not now, Joel. Well, you know, there's so much to do, and you play in a band with rehearsals and promotions and, you know, recordings.
Oh, I know. Before I forget, also I wanted to mention that you are playing with them this weekend with Greg Kinn, March 1st, Saturday the 1st, down in Santa Cruz at Moe's Alley?
Moe's Alley. It's our first show this year. We're sort of using it as a tune-up in a few different songs. And yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm glad to get back out there playing. Usually it doesn't happen a little bit more toward the summer, you know, so it's kind of fun in the middle of the rainy season here.
Yeah, it's true. It is. It's raining here in Marin County as well. And as you know, California really needs the rain. So It's really good to see the rain this year.
Yeah, but we were talking about purpose, and
yeah, you were
talking
about the four
important
P's, what you call the four P's, and I love those so much that I included them in chapter 10 of my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, and that chapter is about your dreams. A dream is a wish your heart makes, is the title of the chapter, and the four P's were purpose, persistence, patience, and personality. And I loved what you said also, though, about persistence. Anything worthwhile is worth working towards. Never give up because the mountain is steep or the path is hard to follow. That is such great advice.
I just, you know, when I was thinking about simplicity when I'm trying to teach my kids something, you know, it seems to me like with my kids, they don't want to really be told anything. But
mm-hmm.
they'll sort of listen, so it has to be simple. You know, they'll sort of listen to me if I say certain things. And, of course, I ended that four P's with the lightest of them all, the one that seems it has no real psychological value, personality, because I think if you let people know who you are,
mm-hmm.
the people that like who you are, or even
mm-hmm.
with me, I kind of like characters. You know, people are kind of different, and
yeah,
they might not be
too.
The kind of person I can hang with that much, but I go, oh, that's a real character. They are who they are.
Right.
I respect them, and I accept them that way, and I'll always accept them that way. If they know your real personality and somebody likes you, you've got them for life. And if you kind of hide it, you know, they don't know who you are, who knows? You know, who knows what the possibilities are with that person? So I try to teach my kids that too.
That's so true. And what you said about being a character, I love that. I mean, to me, that's when I say, wow, that person's really a character. I mean that as a high compliment because I mean it that they're interesting because they're being uniquely who they are.
That's
instead
right,
of
yeah.
just being who everyone else told them they should be or who they were told they were supposed to be, which, you know, obviously is one of the challenges in life, is figuring out who you're supposed to be. And that was one of the things you helped me with, and I wrote about that also in my book in the very first chapter. I wrote about that, about how when I asked you why you had married your wife back then, you said, well, she lets me be me. And I thought at the time, oh, my God, I need to be me, but who am I? You know, I was so used to being a people pleaser at the time that, you know, I thought at the time that if I was like other people, that they would like me. And what I realized after you said that is how important it is to model for your child someone who is living a life that is their on purpose, and that they have persistence and they have patience and that they have a kind personality and that they care about other people. And one of the things that Wayne talked about in the tapes that is so important is that you can't just tell them what to do. You have to be an example of the kind of beliefs and values that you're hoping that they'll pick up. And so that was part of why I decided early on, right when Xander was a baby, that I wanted to be the best mom, role model, and friend I could be for him, because it caused me to look at myself and think, okay, where could I use some improvement? And it's an ongoing process. It's still going on, and that's what I love about personal development.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Speaking of Wayne Dyer,
you brought up when you say, you know, why did I said the, you asked me why I married my first wife, and I'm thinking, well, it was the first wife now. You when
right,
I asked me that
right.
5 years ago, I said, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it's a little different now, you know. That's a whole nother show, though.
But you know, the difference I've noticed is with Rebecca, your fiance, who is just adorable, by the way. I just love her. But the difference is that she not only lets you be you, she encourages you to be you. And that's, I think, the most awesome thing of all, is to not just have somebody let you be who you are, but to actually encourage you to be who you are. Which,
and you know what's interesting about that is my circle of friends, people
mm-hmm.
like you that have something that they care about and something they're passionate about, she gets in on those things and cares and wants to know and is not only a part of, you know, wanting me to do well as I am with her wanting her to do well, but
mm-hmm.
she's a part of my whole circle of all
right.
them want to do or wanting to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I know what you mean. We're actually
we're
starting to run out of time. It's only 4 minutes.
Another
more
show, Margo.
Yeah, we can go into more details about that in another show. But yeah, I just really, that's what I want for our children more than anything is is to be happy and to love themselves and love what they do and love the world they live in, to be kind and to enjoy life. You know, that's one of the greatest gifts in life of all, is just to be able to enjoy it and help other people enjoy it.
You know, I want to add, because there's something in music that has been said to me, and at first I thought, oh, that's awful. But let's say music is the thing you love, and that's what you want to do. Sometimes you have to have a day job to do what you really love to do.
So true.
Even though I was successful in a small way when I was in college in music, playing in a band, I was making enough money to do all the things I wanted to do, I was having some success, little radio success, I still went to school to be a teacher if I had to fall back on something. I thought, I want to do it in music no matter what. So if I would have needed a day job, if nothing would have worked out, still had a job in what I love to do, which is music. And I think that's true in so many careers. If there's something you really love to do, you might have to have another job to support that.
That's so true.
But there's still happiness there, you know? You do it for all the right reasons. And
do it because you love it and it gives you joy. And that's a lot of what makes life enjoyable, is to do that. And you're right, sometimes you have to do other things, not quit your day job, as Cheryl Richard says. But, you know, speaking of time, we're starting to run out of time, and I am excited to announce that next week on Wednesday, March 5th, my guest for the show is going to be Serena Dyer, and she is the sixth of Wayne Dyer's 8 children. We're going to be talking about what it's like having Wayne Dyer as your dad and what it was like growing up with her parents. And also, we're going to be talking about a book that she's writing with her dad called Don't Die with Your Music Still in You. And it was that quote of Wayne's that actually got me to create Live Your Music, to say Live Your Music, is because I thought, well, how can I say it without the don't? And it really is important, I think, to hear it both ways, because the Don't Die with Your Music Still in You kind of wakes you up and makes you remember, oh, my God, I only have so much time on this earth, I better do it now. And I'm hoping that the title of my show, Live Your Music, will remind people to go out there and live your music, whatever that is. If, you know, for me, the 4 things that I've felt called to do so far in life are to be a mom, to write, and write that book that I wrote, and to sing, which is a whole other call on its own. And then there's doing this radio show. I just felt I had to do it, and I've been doing it, and I started out doing it, and I'm loving it. And oh, Robert, thank you so much for being my guest again on my show, and we'll have to have you back on another time when we can talk more about music and how to get going in music, if that's what you really want to do, if that's the music that you hear calling you, because it can be whatever, in quotes, music that you hear calling you. It's not just actual music, but in your case, it is.
That's right. And, you know,
well, your website is www.robertberry.com, and I hope people will go check out your music and go hear you play live if they can.
Well,
and I'll also
people.
Be posting the links on my Facebook and Twitter. Thank you again, Robert, for being on the show. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and bye for now.